content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's program is supported by Coastal Credit Union Foundation. For more information on the Coastal Credit Union Foundation, you can find it at coastal24.com/foundation. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you articles of interest from money.com. Our first article up today, Weekly Scam Alert, Fraudsters Posing as FCC Officials Are Trying to Steal Your Information. This article by Gabrielle Rodriguez Cruz. The Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, is warning consumers about a wave of fraudsters impersonating the agency's officials. In some cases, they're using the names of actual FCC employees to make their stories seem more convincing. According to the agency's new alert, the scammers are calling and texting people to claim their phone number is under investigation for criminal activity. From there, victims are threatened with legal action or pressed to send money and share sensitive financial information. These scams are especially concerning given how much money Americans already lose to impersonators. The Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, received more than 1 million imposter scam reports in 2025, making it the most reported type of fraud for the ninth year in a row. Consumers reported losing $3.5 billion to imposter scams, including about $920 million to fraudsters posing as government officials. The FCC says it will never call or text to say your phone number is under investigation, direct you to a special law enforcement hotline, or demand payment to resolve a problem. If someone does, hang up and don't provide any personal or financial information. The agency also recommends reporting impersonation attempts through its online complaint system. Other scams to watch out for. Gold courier scams. New York Attorney General Letitia James warned consumers last week about a rise in gold bar scams that have been targeting seniors in the state. The New York Police Department has investigated more than 100 such cases over the past 2 years, with losses exceeding $100 million. This type of scam is well documented. Criminals typically convince victims that their financial accounts or identities have been compromised, tell them to convert their savings into gold, and then send couriers to collect it. New York is far from the only place it's happening. In Washington, D.C., police announced arrest on Friday after an 85-year-old man was allegedly told by people posing as federal agents to buy more than $200,000 in gold. A gold dealer recognized the scam and alerted authorities before two men showed up at the victim's home to collect it. Federal prosecutors in Hawaii also announced a similar case last month. You should never feel pressed to move money because someone on the phone tells you to, regardless of what agency they claim to work for. If you believe there's a problem with your account, there's no need to continue conversation with a stranger. Contact your bank directly to ask for information instead. And refund and recovery scams. The FTC recently issued a warning about scammers who buy lists of previous fraud victims and contact them with promises of recovering their missing money, prizes, or merchandise. Those lists can include a victim's name, contact information, the type of scam they fell for, and even how much they lost. To make the pitch believable, These scammers may pose as the FTC or another government agency, a consumer advocacy group, or a law firm. But before recovering anything, they will ask for a fee or an, quote, administrative charge. Others may ask for bank information so they can deposit your supposedly recovered funds. It's an especially malicious setup. The scam works because its target has already been victimized and is hoping to undo the financial damage. The FTC reminds consumers that legitimate organizations won't charge you up front to get a refund, and anyone unexpectedly promising to recover our money in exchange for a fee or financial information should be considered a scammer. The most common types of scams you should know about. Scammers are consistently upping their game, coming up with new and exciting ways for them of fooling their targets. AI-powered scams are one example of this. The technology is being used to reach a larger number of people with increasingly more convincing schemes. But some tricks never run out of style. Most scams fall into a handful of familiar patterns, and many long-standing schemes are still a threat today. They've just evolved to better fit today's digital landscape. Number one, imposter scams. Scammers often pose as trusted figures such as government officials, banks, employers, and even friends or family to pressure victims into sending money or sharing personal information. Number two, phishing and spoofing scams. These scams use emails, text, or phone calls that look like they're from legitimate organizations. The goal is to trick you into clicking a malicious link, downloading malware, or handing over sensitive information. Number three, online shopping scams. Fraudsters can create fake online stores or listings with hard-to-find items at unusually low prices. After you pay for an article, what you end up getting might be counterfeit, or it may never arrive in the first place. Number four, investment scams. This type of scam often arrives with promises of high returns from crypto, Forex, and other, quote, exclusive opportunities. Many involve long-term grooming tactics in which victims are encouraged to invest more over time before losing everything. And lastly, number five, romance scams. Some scammers try to get into your pocket through the heart. They build a relationship with you on dating apps or social media, then convince you to give up money and assets by fabricating emergencies or investment opportunities. Well, what to do if you're the target or victim of a scam? No one is immune to scams or fraud, but a few consistent habits can reduce their danger and the damage they cause. For starters, be skeptical of unsolicited messages, especially those creating fear or urgency. This might look like an email from your bank threatening to close an account, a text from an online marketplace saying you'll lose a discount, or a call from the IRS claiming they'll report you to the authorities unless you, quote, act now. Scammers love to use this sort of language because it puts you on the spot, which they expect will move you to action. Always verify any request from an organization by cross-checking with its official phone numbers, email, or website. And don't click any links, download attachments, or respond to messages you suspect may be fraudulent. A legitimate organization will not pressure you for instant action or secrecy. Now, if you've already sent financial information or money to someone you suspect is a scammer, you'll need to take a few steps to protect your data and possibly get your money reimbursed. Contact your bank, credit card issuer, or payment platform immediately. and attempt to stop or reverse the transactions. Make sure to change any relevant passwords and enable multi-factor authentication to safeguard your accounts too. Reporting a scam might also help protect others. You can file a report with the Federal Trade Commission and with local authorities at your nearby police department or sheriff's office. Identify theft victims. Identity theft victims should also consider temporarily freezing their credit. And lastly, review your financial statements and credit reports regularly. Keep your software updated and limit how much personal information you share online. Scammers often rely on publicly available details to make their schemes more convincing. Our next article, the official website for free credit reports, just got redesigned. Here's what's changed. This article is by Pete Grieve. The official website for requesting free credit reports from the three major credit bureaus just got a makeover. A sharp-eyed Reddit user called attention to a major refresh of the, quote, look and layout of annualcreditreport.com, urging consumers to become familiar with the new design so they don't fall victim to credit scams. Before the changes were implemented in late July, the site had been due for a redesign. One blog even commented in May that the site looks like dated federal government dated type sites, which is actually a good sign that it's the real thing. AnnualCreditReport.com has a totally new look since the update, so make sure you're navigating to the correct URL when using it. The website was created by federal law in 2004, and at the time, online credit report requests through the website were annual, as the site's name suggests. Since 2020, consumers have been able to request free copies of their credit reports from each of the three agencies on a weekly basis. Over the years, the website has been edited and updated, but the latest revisions represent an overhaul to the design. According to Benjamin Korb, Senior Vice President and Strategy and Public Affairs at the Consumer Data Industry Association, the new version is considered the third iteration of the website. This is now a refurbish of a refurbish, so it just felt like the right time, he says. The association says there wasn't a particular catalyst, like a specific consumer complaint or a technical vulnerability, that led to the update, but Americans assessing annualcreditreport.com on their phones or tablets will particularly benefit. The previous website, it worked when looking on mobile, Korb added, but the refresh is really designed to help give the user a better experience, particularly if they're going on a mobile phone. What you need to know about the annualcreditreport.com redesign. Archives of the website show that the changes were made sometime between July 26th and July 28th. The rollout was quiet. We didn't put up billboards or anything to say that we had refreshed the website, Korb says. Annualcreditreport.com is copyrighted by Central Source LLC, which was created by Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. Money was unable to reach Central Source LLC for comment on the changes and the goals of the refresh. As the Reddit user mentioned, the new website appears functionally similar to previous versions. Users are directed to a form where they can input information, including their name, address, Social Security number, and birth date, then are directed to external credit reporting agency websites where the credit report requests are completed. We've simplified the report request flow to reduce the number of pages that you have to do in order to go through the process, Korb says. All of the data that is there is still the same data that you would get from the credit bureaus. The updated website is faster and sleeker. The homepage features new text, now touting, quote, "For over 20 years, we've helped people get their free credit reports safely and easily." It emphasizes privacy, and the site has been modified in several places to clarify that credit reports can now be requested weekly. Site copy and FAQs have been replaced, alongside the addition of a new visual element and modern graphics. It's updating that we had before, Corp says. It's the same consistent messaging that we've always had. Some of the text on the website appears identical to copy on existing web pages. For example, there are exact text matches in the new site's, quote, "Fixing Mistakes on Your Credit Report" page and "This 2016 Experian Guide," Corb was opened that the site includes articles from the industry that provide background on topics like credit reports, credit scores, identity theft, and managing debt. Are credit reports changing? The credit reports produced for people who use the site are unaffected by the changes. In a statement, an Equifax spokesperson notes that the company improved the credit reports it delivers through annualcreditreport.com last year, but confirmed that those changes were separate from the late July refresh of the three bureau website. Color-coded sections and easy-to-read graphics were added to reports to replace lengthy pages of text and to give consumers a comprehensive look at their current and past credit activity, the Equifax spokesperson wrote in an email. Equifax declined to comment on the site refresh itself, and Experian did not respond to our request for comment. TransUnion directed questions to the Consumer Data Industry Association. Users should find that the new website offers a largely familiar experience. The most important takeaway: to protect yourself from identity theft and upcharges, always make sure to use the correct URL. Again, that's annualcreditreport.com, and avoid lookalike sites. It's too early to gauge how consumers are responding to the new site, but the credit reporting agencies are confident it's an improvement. We're really happy with the new website and the look and feel, and hope consumers are able to use it for a lot of valuable reasons, Corb says. Our next article is titled "The Automatic Bank Draft You Forgot About Can Still Be Stopped If You Know the 3 Business Day Rule." This article is by Mark Guberte. It's common to have old subscriptions like gym memberships and streaming services linger in the background, and automatic payments add up. But if you want to stop pre-authorized fund transfers, there is a way. Regulation E is a rule that says if those transactions are from your debit card, you can tell the bank or credit union to stop the transfer, as long as it's done within a certain time frame. Here's what you need to know. How the 3 business day rule works. You can notify your bank or credit union to stop a pre-authorized transfer at least 3 days before it is set to take place. However, the bank uses business days instead of calendar days when factoring in Regulation E, so you shouldn't wait until the last minute. For instance, if your subscription renews on Sunday, you must tell the bank before Wednesday, since Saturday and Sunday are not business days. Some banks may require written confirmation after an oral stop payment request, which means you may have to follow up in writing after speaking with a representative. What stopping the bank draft means? This process will not cancel a subscription. If a gym membership provider or streaming platform does not receive the payment due to this request, they will simply suspend your account and let monthly fees accumulate until you pay it off. You still have to manually reach out to the subscription provider and cancel your plan. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or CFPB, recommends contacting the company directly and then reaching out to your bank or credit union as well. This part of Regulation E can stop automatic loan payments, but the loan payment is still due and must be paid in another way. Some banks and credit unions charge a stop payment fee for this service, so it's a good idea to check the terms and conditions to see how your financial institution approaches this request. What to do if it goes through anyway? Once authorization is revoked, the bank or credit union cannot send payments to the subscription provider from your account moving forward. The merchant can continue to request payments in the background, but you will have to find another way to pay them or cancel your plan. In the event the payment you wanted to cancel goes through, you should contact your bank or credit union and dispute the transfer. Be sure to present documentation detailing your previous request to revoke future payments, especially if you've made your request more than 3 business days before the due date. The CFPB says you can treat these types of payments as errors and have them refunded. Not every disputed recurring charge automatically qualifies. The timing of your dispute, request, and other factors play a role in determining if you can receive a refund and revoke all future transfers to a particular provider. Well, here's an interesting article again that appeared in Money.com. And as we finish up our episode today, hopefully we can get through all of this article. It's titled, How to Choose the Right Pet Insurance Plan. This article is by Kat Tretina. Veterinarian care is better than ever. Our cats and dogs are living longer. Tools like x-rays and ultrasounds catch serious problems early, and many life-threatening conditions are now treatable. But the price for that cutting-edge care is also at its highest. Pet owners in the U.S. spend over $4,000 a year just on routine veterinarian care, according to a new survey by Money.com and Healthy Paws Pet Insurance. When vet bills soar beyond your budget, the right pet insurance plan can help soften the landing. Here's our cheat sheet for buying the best policy for you and your pet. How do I select the right pet insurance? There are about 30 pet insurance companies issuing policies in North America with varying cost, coverage options, and exclusions. These 5 steps help you narrow down your options. Step 1, decide what type of plan you want to buy. Pet insurance companies divide their plans into 3 categories, accident only, accident and illness, and wellness. The right choice depends on your budget and your pet's age and health history. Accident-only plans are relatively inexpensive and cover things like broken limbs or swallowed objects, not treatment for cancer, asthma, or any other illness. This plan makes sense if you're on a tight budget or if you have an older pet that's too expensive to insure against illnesses. The monthly rate for an accident-only plan is $9 for cats and $16 for dogs, according to the North American Pet Insurance Association, or NAPHIA. Accident and illness plans, sometimes called major medical policies, cover both injuries and illnesses. These plans are more expensive than accident-only policies and are best for young pets with a clean bill of health and breeds that are at a higher risk for developing issues later. NAPHIA's report shows that dog owners paid an average of $70 a month for comprehensive coverage, while cat owners paid $36. The last option is wellness care, a plan that is sold separately or as an add-on to pet insurance. This plan provides limited coverage for services that pet insurance doesn't cover: vet visits, vaccines, parasite prevention, dental cleanings, etc. That said, wellness plans can spread out the cost of preventive care, but don't always save you money when compared to a dedicated savings account. Step 2, review the policy's waiting periods and exclusions. If your pet was diagnosed with diabetes before you bought a policy, pet insurance won't cover insulin shots or anything that's related because it's a pre-existing condition. The same applies if your pet is diagnosed during the policy's waiting period, which can last anywhere from 24 hours to 12 months, depending on the issue. For example, a company may delay accident coverage for a day and illness coverage for 2 weeks, but make you wait a whole year for hip dysplasia coverage. If you're worried that your pet may develop hip or other joint problems early, look for a company with a shorter waiting period. The policy's exclusions and waiting periods should be clearly written in the sample policy if the insurer follows the best practices set by the National Association of Insurance Commissions. Step 3, choose how much you want insurance to pay. Most companies allow you to choose how much they'll pay towards covered expenses. Two factors determine your payout: the reimbursement level and the annual coverage maximum. The reimbursement percentage is the portion of the vet bill that insurance will cover after you meet your deductible, and you can usually choose a reimbursement percentage between 70% and 90%. The remaining 10 to 30% is your copay. And step 4, pick a deductible that fits your budget. The deductible is how much you have to pay for veterinary expenses before your insurance coverage kicks in. In other words, if you set a $250 deductible, you'll have to spend $250 at the vet in qualifying expenses before you can file your first insurance claim. And lastly, number 5, shop around and compare insurers. Rates, coverage options, and exclusions can vary by company, so it's a good idea to compare several options. Well, we are now out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. We hope you've enjoyed listening and hope you'll join us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is supported by Coastal Credit Union Foundation. For more information on the Coastal Credit Union Foundation, you can find it at coastal24.com/foundation. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, give us a call, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.